Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Dan Plesak from MLB Network with us.
Danny, I want to ask you about clubhouse cancers.
What comes with star power sometimes is when he's on the other team, you know, he's a real but sometimes the guys you think are bad guys, when they're on your team, you're like, I want that guy on my team.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mullion Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Crane, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Crane.
The new network has been announced.
We're very excited. In terms of the programming on the channel, that'll be exclusively our control. What our fans see will be something that the team controls, and as it should be.
Mullion Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bank USANA.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
11!
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One. Two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
It's not ten. You see, you're on ten here. Where can you go from there? Where? To 11. 11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Been talking about quite a bit in the first 2 hours of the show. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor. We've talked quite a bit about baseball and its frozen offseason. Had Jared Diamond on from the Wall Street Journal to talk over some of the bigger issues at play there. Talked about the Colin Kaepernick settlement with the NFL with Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network and NFL.com. Some interesting tendrils that still need to be figured out, even though the case itself has been settled. I imagine we'll be talking about that throughout the week. There's going to be more that drops there. Obviously, a pretty entertaining NBA All-Star game, too. Made me think about being a kid a little bit. Maybe think about the future of the league some. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the dynamic that exists with Adam Silver as commissioner of that league being wanted, apparently, by some other fairly prominent leagues. You know, the Shield is interested in Adam Silver, apparently. So that dynamic has been an interesting one.
What's interesting is that every one of those sports angles somehow circled back to hot stove inactivity.
Sign Manny Machado.
Somebody, anybody sign people. Figure it out. Fix your league. When the NBA and the NFL both look better than you in their off seasons, that's not a good sign.
So I've often had a problem with luminary Elon Musk. I don't know where you sit on with Elon.
I think he's brilliant and well-intentioned, but then has fallen apart and regressed.
But I think he's a crazy person who's probably got some sort of effigy in a closet made out of like butter and shotgun shells that he worships as a deity of some kind. It's weird to me.
I think he's just fully been allowed to stay mentally unstable, and he's now drugging himself into irrelevance.
Researchers at the nonprofit AI research group, OpenAI, just wanted to train their new text generation software to predict the next word in a sentence, the story on Gizmodo reads. It blew away all their expectations and was so good at mimicking writing by humans that they've decided to pump the brakes on the research while they explore the damage it would do. Elon Musk has been clear that he believes artificial intelligence is the biggest existential threat to humanity. Musk is one of the primary funders of OpenAI, and though he's taken a backseat role at the organization, its researchers appear to share his concerns about opening Pandora's box of trouble. Oh, goody. This week, OpenAI shared a paper covering their latest work on text generation technology, but they're deviating from their standard practice of releasing the full research to the public because they're scared it could be abused by bad actors. So you read more through this thing, and you tell me if you could pick up where, you know, the robot starts typing, essentially. They feed it a sentence.
Oh, God.
And then the AI starts typing the rest of the story. It's absolutely... So one of the things they did is fed it the first line from George Orwell's 1984, which is a piece of surrealist work in the first place. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13, right? That's the first line from the book.
Okay.
The AI...
Which immediately upends reality.
Right. Yes. It's got the prompt of like, well, clearly something is wrong here, and let's fix this. And it finds the style and the punctuation and the writing and stuff. So here's what the computer spit out. I was in my car... on my way to a new job in Seattle. I put the gas in, put the key in, and then I let it run. I just imagined what the day would be like 100 years from now. In 2045, I was a teacher in some school in a poor rural part of China. I started with Chinese history and history of science. But clearly you can hear it fighting itself there. Like the robot is smoking some.
Wow.
But that's, they're so worried that that's the downfall of society right there, this open AI. I'm here for all your conspiracy needs and theories when it comes to technology. This should be at the top of the list.
It reminds me of 1,000 monkeys sitting at 1,000 typewriters.
Shakespeare comes out.
It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. Work harder. All right. So I have made the effort to see all of the Oscar-nominated movies. Most of the ones with the best actress and best Oscar actor nominees as well. But certainly the best picture ones. And finally yesterday...
I got to remind myself what these nominees are.
Yeah, Saturday it was. I saw the final one, and I had not been looking forward to it because I hadn't really read a lot about it. The Favorite, because it's a period piece. I knew it was about a queen and Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone vying to be the favorite of the queen, and I was picturing like some Merchant Ivory boring-ass period piece. Oh, I was wrong. And I'll read you this from The Guardian because I know I'm supposed to read things in this segment. It's
absolutely
a rare treat.
Verbatim.
It's a rare treat to see a contender as gloriously uncensored and unbridled as The Favorite, not only in its vicious vulgarity, but also in its brutal honesty about relationships. There's an unusual willingness to smash open preconceived notions of what love means, focusing instead on the grisly truth. Olivia Colman's tragicomic, rabbit-loving, incompetent Queen Anne is torn between two schemers, and more specifically, between the love that she wants and the love that she needs. She's plagued by tragedy, the effect of which is a crumbling psyche. I could go on with the reading, but suffice to say, like, the art direction's gorgeous, the costuming is gorgeous, there's a ton of weird sex, and it's crazy funny. It's really, really funny. And dark, and evil, and twisted, and I liked it maybe more than anything. That's The Favorite.
That's The Favorite.
Wow. Yeah. Check it out.
I probably will. That's a pretty heady review. I need a ruling. We've had some...
I need a ruling.
Had some bonding experience with the three of you this morning as we discovered it. There's our producer room, right? Our prep studio that we get into in the morning. And I sit down at my usual spot. There are a whole stack of papers there on the desk, newspapers. And as we start to talk, you know, Jay's talking about what we've got on the show. Rick's got his NBA stuff. Spiegs is in. We're all talking and stuff. I lift up the sports section of the Chicago Tribune from Saturday, 2 days ago. And underneath the sports section are 9 cookies.
Yeah.
Not Oreos, but like knockoff Oreos. They were chocolate on one side, vanilla on the other.
I believe it was the Mariano's brand.
You think that's what it was?
Pseudo Hydrox chocolate and vanilla Oreo.
So after the four of us determined that these cookies were fine to eat, there was grease seeping into the paper from the cookies having been there for 24 hours, 48 perhaps.
I think maybe 50 hours if we go early Saturday morning. So cookies sitting out.
Yep.
Between two sections of newspaper,
right,
with open air on all sides, all other sides.
Those were good to eat, right? Because we ate all of them and real fast. Like, there was no, we didn't violate any kind of unspoken rule. None of us in jeopardy of food poisoning or otherwise.
Let me ask you a question. Pizza that's been sitting uncovered in the radio station kitchen for at least 12 to 14 hours.
Not only would I eat that, but that's how I survived for 5 years without health insurance. Like, you think about making that decision, like walking through the score halls going, I don't have health insurance,
and
but
that,
I am going to eat that fungus on the pizza.
And that's a cooked item that was once warm, theoretically attracting bacteria.
Uh-huh.
The cookie is a finished product ready to be on a shelf for months at a time.
Of just processed ingredients.
Yeah,
that can't have been anything natural in that.
I think it's 80% preservatives, that cookie.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so that was a no-brainer to eat, and damn were they tasty.
So you think we were good on that?
I think so.
I went back and made sure, because there was one more. And I wasn't feeling great about it, so I went to just have the last one to make sure we were okay, and we're good.
Okay.
I've not died yet.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Glad to hear it.
We should get more just to make sure
there
wasn't a bad batch.
Because that way we'll have them.
Yeah, that way we have it.
By the way, do you know how many times I've been complimented over the past 6 months on the quality of the I'm Fat podcast? Just random people. Hey, man, I really like you on the I'm Fat podcast.
They just assume because you work at the score and you're portly that you're on the podcast.
Because we used to talk about it when I was on the air. Right. Oh, portly radio man. You must host that podcast.
It'd be great if they were like, boy, the production was really good.
I produce it.
So many host possibilities.
I just produce it. Exactly. All right, we're going to play a little game called What's in My Pocket.
I don't want to.
You have no choice.
Okay.
So this morning...
so you see how that game goes.
You know, this morning, my kid is off of school. CPS has no school today on President's Day.
What grade is the boy in? Refresh my memory.
He's in first grade.
Okay, just to put a context all together.
He is 7 years old, which I'm sure will blow the mind of some who remember when his existence was announced years and years ago. But anyway, he said, Daddy, I know you have to go to work. Take this so you think of me while I'm there. And I'm holding it now. I hold it up to you.
What?
And
is
I want to know if you can tell what it is.
Yeah. Hold on.
Producers, maybe you can tell. I will hold it up to the camera. Are we still video streaming?
Probably.
These days?
Yes.
I think so.
Theoretically.
Does anybody have any idea what it is?
No, it is a plastic cylinder of a chapstick tube size.
Well described.
It is not chapstick, I don't believe. It's got some ridges on one side and clearly an illustration of a dinosaur of some kind in the middle.
This is the danger of living in the Netflix, the streaming era. He can watch any show from any time period, and then I am mandated to go and find the toys that correspond to that show. This is this is from a Power Rangers Brachiosaurus Megazord. That is called a Dino Charger, and it goes inside the Brachiosaurus Megazord, which I bought on eBay and arrived yesterday, shipped from England for like $40. And he's been playing with it nonstop since he got here. He loves it, but you never know. He might fall in love with a show and all the toys are completely out of production and can only be gotten from across the pond.
Is that compatible with an American dinosaur? Or do you need to buy an adapter?
This is an adapter.
Go to Best Buy and get the adapter.
What's kind of awesome, the Megazords are badass, man. Like, he can... Do you have any memory of these? Did you guys play with these as children?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was this from a first generation? Like old? Ooh.
Yeah, that's
the first... We're talking Jason, who was the jerk, and
I think
the Red Ranger.
I think this is going to be the second generation.
I don't remember
a Brachiosaur being on the first. That was Jason and Kimberly,
Zach and Billy,
who's the yellow
ranger.
That's right.
I was too old by the time the Power Rangers came around to actually watch it on my own. But the kid has brought me back, and it's like, it's preposterous. But the Megazords, there's like six of them that fit together. Yeah. I have two more to get still.
Well, you would have been a Voltron guy, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Power
Rangers,
some Voltron. Rip off of Voltron or even Ultron from the day, too.
Yeah, with lower production values that somehow made it more charming.
Repurposed footage and just a bunch
all
of
right,
nonsense.
Well, all give right. that back to me. Thank you.
You're
I
welcome.
Need that back.
Yep,
this has
that.
Been What's in My Pocket.
This from CNN. An inmate in Southern Florida used his criminal skills for a good cause. This is a feel-good story. He and a group of four other low-level offenders in Pasco County near Tampa broke into an SUV on Thursday to rescue a one-year-old girl who was accidentally locked in the vehicle. The mother of the child, Shadow Lantry, recorded the rescue operation and posted it on Facebook. The video has garnered more than 4,000 views. Have you guys watched it or seen it in the feed?
I have not.
He's right there. He's wearing the prison stripes. I mean, they all are. The black and whites, the whole thing. And the inmates were repairing medians nearby when they and deputies rushed to help. Lantry said in her Facebook video, the entire operation took about 5 minutes. The baby was not hurt. Thank God for the criminals in the world. I respect y'all, Lantry says in the video. Pasco County Sheriff Chris Nocho told WFTS it was a unique situation. N-O-C-C-O. How would you do that one? Noco?
No, I think...
Are there two C's is the CH in...
It could be, yeah. But the I usually makes it the CHO, but yeah, you're good.
Anyway, they allowed the inmate to use his skill set to break into the car for the right reasons. He just, plugged it in with a hanger and lifted the thing and opens the door and the kid walks out safe. Good job, inmates in Southern Florida. Well done.
So, I actually learned this in a nugget about the White Sox and Blake Rutherford, who is the number 7 prospect for the White Sox, per MLB Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And this is who he worked out with over the offseason. I'm not sure how he knows these people, but see if you can find a common thread with these people. Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Tyler Saladino, Trevor Plouffe. What team are...
All Brewers, correct?
Yeah, and you know who was with him? Mike Moustakas. So Mike Moustakas, who just signed yesterday with the Brewers to go back on a one-year deal, had been working out all offseason with Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Tyler Saladino. I forget if Trevor Plouffe is still there or not. And Blake Rutherford, too. But point being, Moustakas signs with the Brewers, yet another addition to one of the more active teams in the entire offseason, who added Grandal and now have added Moustakas. And Christian Yelich tweeted very excitedly, like a gif of a guy in a moose costume dancing, because he's very excited to have Mike Moustakas back. And maybe we should have seen that coming all along, since they've been workout buddies the entire offseason.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Spiegs is in for Dan. We told you at the top of the show that we were expecting some sound from Mesa. The Cubs owner Tom Ricketts is scheduled at some point this morning to speak with reporters and kind of open camp. It'll be after he's spoken with players and coaches and other people in management. So he'll have his... kickoff address, I guess. He has plenty to talk to and talk about. There are many, many news stories circling the Cubs right now. Some of them even have to do with baseball. So when that occurs, we will bring it to you live here on The Score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Northwestern basketball team. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com.
I love that the focus of this particular Cubs camp from a coaching perspective is exactly the same as it was last year at this time. Exactly the same storyline. I'm going to ask you about it.
Yeah, tell me what you mean when we come back. It's 670 The Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at Jared.com and dare to be devoted.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Here I go. Bundling home and auto with Progressive can save you money on your car insurance. No kidding. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I added that last part in. You can edit that out, right? Or you can keep it in if you like. I mean, my opinion is I think it's good. I think other people my age would like it. Very relatable.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
It's the President's Day appliance sale at JCPenney. Get up to 40% off select major appliance hot deals, like an LG front load washer and dryer. Save up to $800 when you buy the pair. Plus, get 18 or 30 month special financing on qualifying purchases with your JCPenney credit card through February 27th. Get in, save big. JCPenney.
Offers valid 27 through June 27. Select models, some exclusions apply. Must request a time of purchase. Special financing and new account discount offers cannot be combined. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or jcp.com/appliances for details.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes. Warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. Where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
New appliances can do wonders for a kitchen. Right now at the Home Depot, they'll also do wonders for a kitchen budget with up to 30% off appliance special buys, like the four-piece stainless steel Samsung kitchen suite, over $2,000 off a fridge, gas range, microwave, dishwasher, all at once, just in time for dinner. Up to 30% off appliance special buys now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Electric range available at extra cost. Valid through February 27th.
The long weekend is packed with epic savings at Macy's President's Day Sale. Shop select Levi's looks for the fam, $9.99 to $48.99. And pick out new pieces for your home with 20 to 60% off furniture and mattresses. Find the perfect fit during our lingerie sale. Buy one bra, get one half off. And stock up during our kids and baby sale, 40 to 50% off. Plus, use your Macy's card or pass and take an extra 10 to 20% off select items now at Macy's. Savings off sale prices exclusions apply. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members can earn towards Star Money.
Continue the St. Patrick's Day celebration and kick off your spring racing season with the Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle 8K on Sunday, March 24th. The Shamrock Shuffle is one of Chicago's best running events with a one-of-a-kind course that weaves its way through Chicago's loop, starting and finishing in Grant Park. Runners will receive a Nike Dry Fit shirt, festive winter hat, and a finisher medal. Sign up now at shamrockshuffle.com to secure your place at the start line. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs.
Theo said, Ian, that the offense broke somewhere along the lines, and in the second half specifically. Did you guys have a feeling while it was going on that it was broken, you were trying to rescue it or trying to fix it, or is that something that you just see afterward?
I think one of the things that people overlook is how good we were in the first half.
Yeah.
We were one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in baseball in the first half, and we were producing at a pretty incredible clip. So I think it was kind of a slow digression from there, and then you kind of look back at the end of the year after putting our heads down, getting underwater and trying to finish that thing off, you turn around and you say, oh God, something went terribly wrong.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs.
Theo said, Ian, that the offense broke somewhere along the lines.
I mean, you kind of look back at the end of the year after putting our heads down, getting underwater and trying to finish that thing off. You turn around and you say, oh God, something went terribly wrong.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
And now, an ad from Dad.
Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Yeah. Tell you another way to save money. Don't buy those expensive coffees every morning, you know. Then you can save up for a really nice dress shirt. I'm just saying. It's great that you feel comfortable here at work, but, you know, an adult could walk in.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here, or here, or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
That bathroom upgrade is within reach at the Winter Kitchen and Bath event now at the Home Depot, starting with the exclusive Pfister Venturi Bath Faucet. It's a two-handle, widespread brush nickel faucet with a spot defense finish that resists water spots and fingerprints. And right now, you can get your hands on one for just $119. So upgrade your bathroom and let the savings flow. The Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.
Hi, Fashion Hotline.
Hi, this President's Day, my family wants to exercise our right to cute new styles.
I vote for Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, the new styles you want now are up to 50% off store-wide. Get new tops, new dresses, and new jeans for the whole family on sale now, including women's Rockstar jeans.
Up to 50% off store-wide?
And buy online and pick up in store for free. Jeans start at just $15 for adults, $10 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Now that's democracy in action.
Rush in for up to 50% off store-wide. Hurry, ends tomorrow. Valid 2/11 to 2/18, select styles only.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mullion Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan.
Jim, we get a lot of callers and texters that say that frustration that you sometimes show, that intensity that you always show, that your coaching style might not be in harmony with the modern NBA player. How do you handle that sort of criticism?
I'm going to be who I am, and I go back to the competitive part. I think I'm trying to get our guys to understand the competitive piece. You know, we got bulls across our chest, and I want them to be more intense, you know, more committed, more physical, more communicative, and take more ownership. So what I have had is guys take ownership of their play. When they played poorly and they've let the team down, they've admitted it, and they're trying to get better and move on. And I think that's what a good NBA player does.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Pearl Scanner.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I love managing. I dig the intellectual part about preparing for the game, whether it's lineups, bullpens, opposition, looking at all that stuff. But coaching takes you really into the moment. I kind of like that.
It's Cubs manager Joe Maddon, of course. Talking about the new teaching style or points of emphasis or what's old is new again, I guess, in Cubs camp. Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein this morning. We are awaiting a press conference from owner Tom Ricketts to the gathered reporters there in Mesa. And as soon as that starts happening, we will bring it to you on the show. You just have to stick right here. You won't miss a darn thing. But it's your contention, Spiegs, that what? It's the same old, same old?
Well, yeah, because it's really important and it's hard to get guys convinced to do it. Last year, Chili Davis was here as the new hitting coach. And what was he here to do? He was here to help with situational hitting.
Ruin everyone.
Yeah, well, not what did he end up doing?
Oh, all right. Different question. My mistake.
Alienating most youngsters. ruining everything.
While telling them the wrong
But things. Sharing great stories with the beat guys. Every time I'd walk in there, Chili was like,
really? He's got a good story.
Side. Oh, my God. Phenomenal. Chili's a fun guy, interesting guy. He used to be a hard ass and now can joke about it. No, he was beloved, just not by, you know, the players. But situational hitting. And here we are, and it was your top story on the Cubs news page at MLB.com that Joe Maddon is helping the coaches as they would try to work on situational hitting. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be assisting the hitting coach and the assistant hitting coach, Termell Sledge, along with Anthony Iaposi. And so is it Iaposi? I always screw it up. I think it's Iaposi. Okay, good.
Forget how we landed on that, because the nicknames are different. It's Poach.
Right.
So I can't.
Right. He's a fun dude, by the way.
He seems to be.
Oh, yeah. He's some good laughs.
That's why they brought him.
They love his positivity,
why
man.
They brought him in.
They need him. But everybody's talking about the B-hack. And I think Maddon brought up the B-hack, having an alternate swing for two strikes in certain situations. I'm pretty sure he brought that up on day one at the Cubby Bear when he bought everybody a shot.
Yeah.
Like day one.
It's an old Maddonism. It's something that's stuck with him for a while. And I don't think...
It should, though.
I've said this about Maddon. I think we forget his resume for his reputation sometimes. We forget how good a coach his reputation has him being.
Mm-hmm.
That the franchises over and over again, whether it's the roving hitting coach or whether it's actually as a batter, like he says in his very typically Joe way that his graduate degree is in hitting, while the undergraduate work is in what did he say, base running and then catching. I think
right. Those
two undergrads is the way he puts it.
But he's coached every aspect pretty much,
and it makes sense. You know, we've got anecdotes from last season when John Lester is knocking on Joe's door, like, "Hey, I am looking for some. I'm holding an 8th ERA over the last 5 starts. I'm getting
what do you see?
Getting knocked around here. Help me out with something." I don't think that just because the ask of Joe was to be more involved and to put more urgency or intensity or, you know, find your adjective and drop it into Joe's, you know, coaching style this year. I don't think that just because it's an ask from the front office means that it can't work. I think in a very strange way, the reason they went to go get Joe, the reason they invested as much as they did in their reputation and going to get Joe and relieving Ricky Renteria of his duties, mm-hmm. like that was... That's because Joe's a good coach.
Joe is a good coach, and he's being asked to be more active and involved, and he says he will be. Anthony Rizzo has a terrific B-hack. We've all seen it. With two strikes, he will shorten up and go the opposite way. The Red Sox won the World Series in large part because J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts and some others were really good with two strikes in big moments in that World Series. Theo Epstein said at the Cub convention that it's important for teams' hitters to have a, quote, B-swing, unquote, for when the count gets to two strikes. Before you get to two strikes, when you're early in the count and you're aggressive, you should be hunting a pitch you can drive, yada, yada, hit it, go for it, hit in the seats. When you get to two strikes, we collectively have to make an adjustment. This is what it is. They want more of their guys to do what Rizzo does, which is change it up with two strikes. And Jed Hoyer said at the convention, not every strike, not every out is the same. Not every strikeout is the same. It's just not anymore. This is what they want, and it's the same message as last year. It's just they're hoping that this new batch of personalities with the coaches is better at putting it across.
Bot of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Connor McKnight. Spiegs is in for Dan this morning. Dan's making his way back from St. Louis through a snowstorm and after a hockey weekend. He'll be back tomorrow. I wonder, too, I've been an advocate for a little while of the idea of having more than one hitting coach in an organization. Termell Sledge is the assistant hitting coach to Anthony Iaposi, and I think more voices make sense. You have more swings than just one in
Absolutely.
Your clubhouse.
Absolutely. It's an anecdotal, it's their relationship based success or not with a hitting coach is absolutely relationship based.
And everybody's been in a situation where, you know, whether it's a teacher or a boss at work or a friend trying to explain a concept to you, and for whatever reason, you're just
banging your head up against the wall, not getting whatever the hell this guy's talking about. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has a different verbiage for you, and you go, oh.
Oh, I get it now.
It's that thing.
Why didn't you say it like that guy?
These words. Use those. That makes sense. Right. What you're talking about is not. And for somebody else, it may work the complete opposite way. So it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of Joe just kind of being able to rove, as he did in the minor leagues, rove sure. throughout different levels. He gets to rove around whatever lines he's drawn on the field, whatever circles he thinks you need to bunt this ball into or that ball mm-hmm. into. And it's just, I get it. It's a return to something that a lot of hitters have searched for a while. I wonder, though, if we're asking something of an organization that all of baseball is struggling with, perhaps. All of baseball is facing more and more heat.
Hard
all of baseball
yes.
is sitting there with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball in the back of their head and
right.
seeing more and more breaking stuff. And it's hard to hit.
It is, but there more and more people in baseball are saying that you have to change and evolve, and we'll see if the Cubs do.
Tom Ricketts is speaking with reporters down in Mesa. We bring you the owner of the Chicago Cubs in just a second here. He's going to address a number of different issues.
I'd start by talking about what I just talked about with the players in the other room. I gave my annual three-thing speech, you know, respect the badge, you know, respect the Cubs. It's an important organization. Act well on and off the field. I told them to respect fans, treat fans like gold like I do every year, and told them if they ever wanted to do anything in the charitable world, we'd help them like we do every year. We're the most charitable team in the game and want to keep that going. But I also added a little bit about the emails that are going around, my father's email controversy, basically reiterating some of the things that we've talked about before, talked about in our statement, that the emails that were in there were unacceptable and have no place. My father has no direct role or economic interest in the team. And the, and that doesn't represent what this organization is. I also said, I'm sorry for the distraction. This may have created the last couple days. We need to focus on baseball. We need to get back to our winning ways. We need to get off to a fast start. And the last thing an organization needs is more like off the field distractions. So we started with that. And then of course, everybody else got up and had their speeches. It was a pretty good atmosphere in there, and I think everybody's ready to go. So with that, I'm happy to answer questions.
Were you satisfied with your father's statement that he put out?
Yeah, you know, the fact is that, he acknowledged that they were inappropriate emails. He expressed regret. He apologized. Those aren't the values that my family was raised with. I have to be honest. I was surprised to see the emails. I've never. Our family was never raised that way. I've never heard my father say anything that was even remotely racist. It just isn't our family values. So I was a little bit surprised, but I think that his statements, both of them, are good and fair. And he acknowledges that those kind of statements cause pain. And I love him. He's my dad. He's a great man. He's done incredible things. He's helped children all over the world through his charities, and he supports 1,700 schools in Africa, and he's all over East Africa too, or Islamic East Africa. Like, he's done all the right things. I think he just probably could have been more careful about which emails he brought in and a couple he sent. But like I said, I love him. I don't see him in that light. I think he's a great man, just an unfortunate situation.
Tom, this was at least the second email dump by this website. Do you know whether any more are coming, or is that a concern?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't know how those emails got out. Clearly, they were stolen. How they got out or who has what, I have no idea.
Were you or anyone else in the family on the forward list for any of those emails? Did you get any of them?
No. I'm not certainly. I don't know if anybody else was. There's one email with Pete in there. But it was an exchange. You can go back and look at that one.
Okay.
concerned with all the Matt Sinclair, Todd working for Trump, that really the organization is seen in a different light by a lot of other things?
I don't think those things are connected. I mean, first of all, I think that, you know, the dad email thing, like I said, I was very surprised. I mean, they're emails from several years ago that we don't know how they got out, who had them, who gave them to who. But that's a totally separate issue from any of the other issues that we have going on. You brought up Sinclair. I mean, Sinclair is going to be a great partner. We've been talking to them for several years. They have a lot of experience in the space. They have a lot of TV stations. They have a lot of experience. They have experience in sports. And it's a strategic initiative that fits well for them. And that deal will be a great deal for our fans and a great deal for the organization. I think it's completely unrelated to anything that happens on my dad's front. And it's completely unrelated to anything that happens on the political front. Like, I don't, we don't make our decisions based upon that. We, everything we do, as you guys know, is very thorough and thoughtful and well executed. And the fact that Sinclair, has political stuff or has some political image doesn't mean anything to us. It really doesn't.
Just to follow up on what he said there, a lot of what the image is, I guess, is, and whether it's any of these things are related, a lot of times it's a perception from the outside too. And you guys have done a job here for almost a decade now of cultivating a certain image with this club, a certain level of friendliness or neighbor image, that kind of thing. How would, the Murphy stuff got some backlash, and Russell stuff now, the email stuff, and whether Sinclair's involved in that, whether the politics are involved in that. How do you go about sort of rebuilding the image in the wake of this?
Well, look, we set out almost 10 years ago now to be the best organization in sports and to do what is right for our fans. I mean, we laid out our three goals: to win the World Series, to restore Wrigley Field, and to be a better neighbor. And we've crushed it. We've absolutely executed against all three of those goals. We've won the World Series. We've won more games than anyone in baseball the last 4 years. We won 95 games last year. We've restored Wrigley Field and put $750 million of private funds to make Wrigley Field not only the best place to watch baseball, but a place that serves fans the right way. And on the community front, we now are the most charitable team in sports, and we do a lot not only for the city but for the neighborhood, and we define neighbor being a good neighbor broadly. We've executed against all those goals, and we continue to do everything we can to be the best organization in sports. The distractions that occur off the field don't deter from that, and we continue to move forward, and I don't see that these things changing us in any way.
You're listening to Cubs Chairman Tom Ricketts address the media as his team opens spring training. This is Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Your dad runs the Cubs. You're not. There's an association there. And I'm curious what you said to your own kids about their grandfather being associated with those emails.
Oh, my. The fact is that obviously when those broke out, we let all the kids know about it. And frankly, I got to be honest, my kids just called my dad and just said, "We support you." I mean, the fact is that we know he's not that guy. Like, it's easy to take, some emails and try to paint a picture, but we know who my father is, and we know that he's not the person that some of the articles want to make him to be. And so he had no damage control internally. We all love him, and we know who he is, and that and I think that was probably the overriding family emotion.
Does the explanation that your father doesn't have a role in the operation of the Cubs, does it go far enough? I mean, is it fair if someone feels like his statements reflect on the Cubs because it's his family he's the patriarch?
We are related, right? He is my father. The dollars that were ultimately used to purchase the club were created by the wealth that he created. But like I said, this has always been an effort by myself and my siblings, and he has no operating position or economic interest in the team at all. But obviously it's going to be something that I'm not surprised that people would associate it with us and the team. But And like I said, I mean, from our standpoint, you know, we're surprised. We know that's not who my dad really is. And then I think that, you know, we just took it as an opportunity to do something positive. You know, we when we saw those emails, we reached out to different community leaders, particularly in the Islamic community, to try to, you know, acknowledge the fact that whether or not my dad is Cubs owner, those cause pain and those cause hurt, and those are our fans. And we have to do something to reach out to those people. And so, I mean, I can't go back and change, you know, can't go back and, you know, change an inbox from 12 years ago or 8 years ago, and I can't unpublish emails. But what we can do is we can use this as a chance to do more positive things, and I think that's something that that we've you know, as Joe said today, we own it. Like, we have to go out and do what we can to repair the damage that that may be created by those emails. And I think we're off to a pretty good start.
Talk to the player. Do you use this as an example of don't do things that could come back and haunt you in the future?
No. What I said to the players was that, and the emails are out there, and we've talked about them. They've been in the press for a long time. But I wanted to let them know if there was anything that we had done in our organization that ever made them uncomfortable or something we had missed, to let me know. It was an opportunity for me to just remind everyone how incredibly important it is that we do have an organization that doesn't have those kind of frictions or barriers. We need to be inclusive and need to be supportive of everyone. So it was a great opportunity just to ask them if there's something that we've ever done that didn't feel right to them, just come see me. But that was basically the context.
Madam, as far as the city goes, do you think some of the pushback with Alderman Tunney went too far, or do you think that that's just something that you have to let your fans know about, to let them understand that you're trying to, you have an agenda that's trying to expand itself in the Wrigley Field footprint?
I don't quite get the question, but the
at the convention, you know there was some, you know, talk about Alderman Tunney,
yeah,
and whether or not he represents properly.
Mm. Yeah, well, Alderman Tunney's been the alderman for 16 years. He was appointed 16 years ago, and he's running for re-election this year. We've been public. We believe that that the neighbors could do better. But I got to be honest, like, I don't have, aside from, you know, a little bit more thoughtful security plans, we don't have a big ask. We're not trying to change anything. We're not, you know, I mean, I think what voters should think about is, you know, running in the ward to protect people from the Cubs is ridiculous. You're protecting people from community ice rinks and farmers markets. Like, we're committed to the community. We have a huge investment in the community. And everything we've done, we've been transparent and forthcoming, and we've delivered. And everyone should be comfortable with us as neighbors in our neighborhood. The when it comes to the alderman, my personal dealings with him have been not good. It's difficult to build a relationship with him. And honestly, I just think we can do better. There's other candidates, and I would suggest that everyone who lives in our ward take a look at both of them, and see if they don't think there's a better way forward for us.
You understand that fans, some of them might take exception to being led as to how to vote.
Look, I'm not leading anyone where to vote. I'm just saying take a look, and everyone has to make their own decisions. Maybe it's just time to take a look at getting some new leadership.
You said several times that is not your father. That's not who he is.
Yeah.
He's not racist. So why would he write those? I think that's what people are still resisting.
Well, I mean, I can't. I mean, first of all, it's kind of two categories. Obviously, there's a lot of inappropriate and insensitive jokes. Obviously, he didn't write those or forward those, by the way. Some of the things that he wrote about Islam, I think, and he put this in his own statement, were colored by the news of the day, in the Middle East. And that's another great point, because we all have to fight very hard to not let that, that very small percentage of people that are creating all this news, we can't let that cast a shadow over all the people that aren't like that. And it's just a human weakness we have to fight against. But like I said, we're going to try to take this and do something positive out of it, and raise awareness for people that are, painting, the American Islamic community as something related to, some of the more extreme people in the Middle East, and that's not fair.
I think that people are just hearing words right now, and they want to know what the actions might be. And you saw the release this morning, it said that there are planned actions. But how do you back up what you're saying?
Yeah, well, we'll follow through on all that stuff. I mean, the fact is, it's just kind of fresh. We want to make sure we do it right. We'll make sure that our actions back up our words. I mean, like, you guys have known me for almost 10 years. Everything we said we're going to do, we've done, and we're going to follow through on this.
Why do you say that someone's father has no economic interest in the team? Yeah. He doesn't benefit financially from any money spent to Wrigley Field.
Not the ballpark, not the hotel, not nothing.
How does the family trust relate to that? That's not.
Yeah, it's just not part of the trust. It's outside of the system. Yeah.
Why do you think someone went out of their way to leak the emails?
I don't know. I can't speculate on that. Obviously, my dad keeps a very high political profile. He also had, he also had a news organization last year that closed. I don't know. I'm not sure what anyone gains from this.
We usually come here and talk a lot about baseball, but there's been a lot of the off-field stuff from this and the Addison Russell thing. So, what are your feelings as you head into a new season and start this journey?
Obviously this is a different kind of gathering than we've had the past few years. I mean, there's a few more off-field distractions than there have been in years past. But look, you're never going to get around them. I mean, we're a very high-profile organization. Like I said, we continue to drive to be the best organization in all of sports. Things aren't always going to go well every single year or every single month. It just feels like there's a few more distractions than normal this year, but hopefully, by addressing it the best we can and finding the positive things we can do to move forward, we can get everyone focused on baseball again.
What do you say to the fans? Like, there's a lot of talk about, back to the TV deal, that they're going to have to pay extra to watch games. Can you say that? There's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of misperception in the market, too. Like, I mean, first of all, there is, I mean, if you... I mean, there's the whole concept of, like, this free television, obviously. If you get your free channels through cable or through Dish, you're paying for them. So those aren't free. So I think people have a misperception there. With respect to having a second channel, I mean, it's really about serving the fans. I mean, the fact is that we can, by separating ourselves, we can do what's right for the organization by doing what's right for the fans, and that's being able to put all the games in one place, which is probably the single biggest complaint I get from people, put all the games in one place, to do all the shoulder programming and do all the game day programming the way we want to do it. We have a production team now that can go and look at players' personal lives in depth and, bring those players off the page, and we can just do a lot more. And frankly, it's what the biggest and what other teams in our sport have done. And if there's one thing this organization did historically not well, is they didn't handle the big picture and the big problems very well. And this is a big thing. And I think we will have our own, having our own channel is the next step in becoming the best organization in the world.
Tom, how much did, if at all, the controversy that surrounds Sinclair come up in your decision-making process?
Not at all. It didn't have any impact on anything. We just know that they're a very good organization who has a strategic interest in getting into sports, and they already have the tennis channel, and so they already have some experience that will help us. We think they'll be great partners, there's nothing political in anything we're doing with our new station.
What do you know about how this fits in with the sale of the 21 RSNs that are out there right now, and the whole Disney-Fox merger and Sinclair's involvement in that, and whether even streaming rights are going to go back to the individual clubs?
There's a lot of questions in there. I don't really have a lot of insight into what's going to happen with the Disney RSNs. All I know is what I read in the paper, so I have nothing to add on that. Same on streaming rights. You know, I think ultimately that the clubs will get them back, but that's up to the commissioner as to what happens next.
And just to go back to something you said early on about the politics not being related to some of this other stuff, how do you respond to the perception that at times maybe the high profile of the club and maybe even the brand of the club has been, your family's been able to use it to their advantage in some of the political endeavors, and maybe Pete in Nebraska, maybe Todd with some of the presidential stuff?
Well, I don't have any way to like weigh that or gauge whether or not that's been a plus or a minus. I think the association with a winning organization is generally a plus. If it would have been a losing organization, it would have been a minus, I guess. But ultimately, whatever we do as individuals and my siblings, we have to stand on our own 2 feet, regardless of what happens at the baseball team.
You want to be the best organization.
You're listening to Cubs Chairman Tom Ricketts address the media here on WSCR HD1 Chicago and WBMX HD2 Chicago. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Matt Spiegel in for Dan. We're going to keep listening to Tom because he hasn't been asked a baseball question yet, and the subject of Addison Russell and what he's doing to regain trust from both fans and teammates still on the board. So we will continue listening to the Cubs chairman.
Unfortunately, you just can't have a high-profile free agent every single year. And part of that is the how much it costs. I mean, whatever the $25-30 million is going to cost. Plus, it's a 10-year commitment, and you got to pay those dollars. So, we like the team we have. We made the bets we have over the last few years. I think that we're well positioned to win the division again. And as much as I would love to have a great new exciting player every single season, it just can't happen every year.
There's the part that you have to pay Bryant and Baez and Rizzo eventually huge contracts if you're going to keep them. Is that a part of the projection that you and Theo and the baseball department talk about?
Yeah, there's two things in there, and I think that maybe like the baseball people in the room understand, but maybe a lot of fans don't. I mean, as those players get through arbitration, they're getting pretty substantial raises. So this offseason, although Chris Bryant and Javi Baez aren't new players, they got a pretty substantial raises going into this season. On top of that, we signed Cole Hamels, so it doesn't feel like necessarily like a free agent because we picked up a contract that was our option. But I mean, those contracts put us well above what we've ever spent before. So that's one point. Like our baseball spend is higher than it's ever been. It's 50% more than it was just 6 or 7 years ago. And part of it is because of the players as they mature, they get more money. But your second part of the question is really on point too. We have to have the financial flexibility to keep the players we want to keep for the long run. And we could sign a bunch of new players, try to get a couple new players this year, but you can't spend that same dollar twice. You have to be able to project out and look for flexibility in the future. But like I said, it's not all about money. I mean, the fact is that it really comes down to, do you have the right guys and can they stay healthy and get through the season? And I think we do have the right guys.
If you wanted to, in the past, some owners have talked about, well, short term we might take a loss, but we're going to try to win now and then we'll figure it out later. If you wanted to, I know you've got some financial things that might make it challenging, but could you pay whatever you wanted to? If you just take money out of your own, is there a mechanism by which you could say we're going to do something like that, or maybe even like table this year's Wrigley updates or something like that? Is there a way that you could, if you wanted to, get around some of this stuff?
No, I don't think there's any limitation in baseball on how much money you want to lose. I think that there's some guys that have tested that, but I'm telling you, it's the most important thing you can do is think about not just this year, but the future. I think one of the biggest mistakes the previous ownership made is they considered every year a discrete event, as if, okay, what do we have to do this year to sell our season tickets? What do we have to do to sell the suites? What do we have to do to get our sponsors back? You have to think of every year as part of a continuum, and you have to think of it in terms of where you're going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. And, you know, in those kind of go-for-it scenarios, a lot of times they don't work. I mean, the fact is the correlation between your payroll and your wins is positive, but it's not dispositive. It doesn't decide how you're going to do. The fact is that the correlation has been going down over time, and you guys who are closer to the game know that more younger players are becoming more impactful earlier in their career. And so you can't buy victories. You can't like you could maybe 20 years ago. So you have to be thoughtful about where you put your resources and think long term.
And on the other side, you can't buy victories. You guys have pretty much, well, I don't know for a fact if you have, but you have the hotel, you purchased some rooftops, so new TV deals kicking in, a lot of new revenue streams over the last 5 or 6 years. Is there anything else out there in the neighborhood for you guys left to pursue in that regard?
In the neighborhood.